Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Monday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooke. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community. I'm taking some time out in the day to begin with inspiration, motivate us, to talk about current events and to read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is January 10th, 2011. I hope everyone is getting used to writing that new year on their checks and in their conversations, letters, and other correspondence. And you are listening to show number 127. Thank you so much for joining me and getting on the live chat of Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to remind everyone that this is a simple study session and any listeners must consult their healthcare provider. Also, a shout out to Dr. Waqar from Homeopathy World Community. He's an administrator who helps approve new members. Today is his birthday, and wishing his wife well, who is down with the flu. Also, don't forget to go on to the Blog Talk Radio show and click listen, friend. That little heart button is a favorite, and you can leave a comment. You can also listen to the old shows and download them to your computer, iTunes, or iPod. And also visit the Blog Talk Radio group on Homeopathy World Community to post comments after the show is over. I would also like to let people know, because someone has told me, Debbie, the show is 60 minutes long. It's way too long for me to listen live. Well, that is why we have the option to download it and listen to it at your convenience, whether you're driving in the car or preparing a meal in the kitchen. However you want to do that, you can listen later. I do love to have people live with me to correspond and put comments right there and contribute to the conversation as I'm talking about homeopathy during the show. I'd like to remind people there is a daily online newspaper. You can click that great big red notice on the front of Homeopathy World Community. It is the Homeopath Daily, and there are probably about 170 potential contributors to that online newspaper. It's aggregated automatically from your links on Twitter. So if you have a blog and if you're writing some good information about homeopathy, it will get noticed from all of our Twitter followers who are interested in homeopathy. Today's inspirational quote I did put up on the HWC Facebook. It's by Jim Rohn. It says, "To solve any problem, here are three questions to ask yourself. First, what could I do? Second, what could I read? And third, who could I ask?" So the very first question, kind of what can I do, is a spectrum of where are you in the process of this solving this problem that you have. Is it something that you actually can do something about? And if not, then you have to accept that and move on to the next thing. If there is something that you can do, you have to figure out what it is. And that leads you to the second question. So you can investigate the internet, which I call my online university, is filled with so much information that you can learn and read on your own and do some independent research and independent study. and gather information. And then you have to, third is the most important, I think, who could I ask? And this would be an expert in this, in that particular field of study. So you don't, you could go to the library and try and fix a plumbing problem by yourself if you're adept at that, or you could call a plumber and you want to also get a recommendation. Who is the best one to do that particular job for you? And I think that goes across the board for any kind of problem that you may have. I'm going to check on our chat, and we do have a few guests. I want to welcome all those people who are on the live chat in Blog Talk Radio, including Marilyn. She's posted her name, which is really nice. And anybody else who's there, I'd love to find out who is listening today. So we're going to go ahead with the continuation of the show. We have on Homeopathy World Community so many wonderful contributors. They are really gearing up great articles, discussions, conversations, even games. The word game is really exciting. I look forward to participating in it. Dr. Nilanyana Basu has started that one where the last letter of the word starts the beginning word of the next whatever contribution that someone is going to be posting. And whether it is the name of a remedy or something having to do with the medical field or homeopathy, it's a way to play a game and learn at the same time. There's also another one, which I'm very, very excited to be reading, that she has contributed, called My Conversion to Homeopathy. It's an interesting approach to how people get started with learning and studying and their introduction to homeopathy, and how whatever has happened in their life, it becomes a way that they start that learning process. So she herself has contributed, and she says she started this discussion, which is called My Conversion to Homeopathy, and we'll try to put forth the story of conversion to homeopathy from other fields, whether it be the master, Dr. Samuel Hahnemann or Dr. Boninghausen. And she's also asking other people to write their story of how they got introduced or conversion, quote unquote, to homeopathy. And this adds to the history of our field. Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, as everyone knows, was translating Cullen's Materia Medica and came across a footnote under cinchona, or the Peruvian bark, that its curative eminence was in malaria, and that was due to its astringent properties. Hahnemann was not convinced with this explanation because there were other substances with more astringent property used in medicine, but not useful to cure malaria. Dr. Hahnemann experimented on himself in 1790 by taking 4 drams of a potion made from Peruvian bark. He experienced similar symptoms to that of malaria. This observation and its reconfirmation on other individuals made him record that, quote, Peruvian bark, which is used as a remedy for intermittent fever, acts because it can produce symptoms similar to those of intermittent fever in healthy people, unquote. This led him to formulate the principle similia similibus curanta. And from a clinician and chemist of his time, he became the father of homeopathy. So from this very little beginning, homeopathy was started in a very systematic method for curative, as a curative agent for people who are suffering from illness. And we know it's based on likes, cures, likes. On the network, you can find that continuing story and make your contributions. There are many other people who are on there and many historical figures. And this leads me to a story about Edward von Grovel, who lived in 1811 through 1877. I would like to read a little bit, and this comes from Sue Young's homeopathy website. And she is a wonderful historian, has recorded many of the greats on her website. I want to read this particularly today simply because we're going to be talking about the remedy arnica and how it is used and how it is used throughout history and currently today for surgery. So we will get on with that. Edward von Grovel, and then maybe somebody can help me with the pronunciation, G-R-A-U-V-O-G-L, Grovel, 1811 through 1877, was an MD, and he was a German Orthodox physician who converted, again, even Sue Young is using this a word of conversion. He converted to homeopathy to become the first homeopath in Finland and the president of the Central Union of Homeopathic Physicians in Germany. And remember, Samuel Hahnemann himself comes from Germany. Grovel described three constitutions, endomorphic, mesomorphic, and ectomorphic, or hydrogenoid, oxygenoid, and carbonitrogenoid constitutions, and he was an advocate of the high potency remedies. And today, many people do use high potency remedies for when they are spot on target with the similimum. Grovel was also a colleague of Bohler, Hummel, Kirsch, Wietmeyer, Glatter-Müller, Schneider, Weiss, and many others. Count Nikolai Vladimirovich Aldenburg introduced homeopathy to Helsinki in Finland, and he placed Edward von Grovel in charge of homeopathy at the Helsingfors Military Hospital and to lecture on homeopathy at the University of Helsingfors. So we know how important arnica is for injury, and we see how important it's going to be for him to be in charge of the military hospital. I'm going to quote here. Grovel accepted the invitation in November 1871 under the condition that he could bring a reliable pharmacist with him, a wish he was granted. Grovel described the resistance he was faced with in a letter that he wrote a few years later to a Russian physician. Grovel's lectures, to which no medical students but only qualified doctors were admitted, were also attended by two high-ranking military physicians and by the head of the medical faculty of the university and a general practitioner. Only the two military physicians remained faithful to him. Tsar Alexander II had even given orders to reserve two sick rooms in the Helsinki Military Hospital for Grovel, where he could treat his patients exclusively homeopathically. Grovel also operated a successful private practice, which attracted patients from as far away as St. Petersburg. But it was not long before Grovel complained about intrigues from his opponents, among them the head of the health department, who was said to be hostile towards homeopathy. So you see, even centuries ago, there were still ongoing opponents and difficulty in getting approval of the use of homeopathy. I'm going to quote again, Count Nikolai Vladimirovich Alderberg, the governor general in Finland, which was then a province of the Russian Empire, offered Dr. Grovel to settle in Helsingfors in order to deliver lectures on homeopathy at the university and to homeopathically treat in a local military hospital. Homeopathic treatment in two rooms of the hospital had continued for some 7 months and was interrupted by a sudden illness of the patron, that was Count Nikolai Vladimirovich Alderberg. Grovel was personally entrusted by Tsar Alexander II with the treatment of Count Nikolai and had to leave the hospital. During the period of 7 months, 81 patients were treated, 52 recovered, 10 were passed to the allopathic unit, and 10 remained receiving treatment. So you see, there must have been some adherence, some trust, some belief in the work of Dr. Gavolg because of such high officials giving him this appointment. I'm going to quote again. Edward von Gavolg explained homeopathic treatment at the Singapore's military hospital had continued from January 1st to July 25th, 1872, whilst my private practice became large and stretched to St. Petersburg. The rooms intended for homeopathic treatment were filling slowly, as especially difficult, mostly incurable cases were chosen to be hospitalized in these rooms. No acute cases were put in my room, except for those who proved to be in dangerous conditions. This behavior seemed to me abusive. Nevertheless, all my complaints and requests remained unanswered. Nothing resulted, not only from my complaints, but also from the orders of Count Nikolai Vladimirovich Aldeburgh, as the chief physician of Helsingfors, an ardent enemy of homeopathy, did all as he wished. Only in Russia is it possible that one behaves contrary to the will of Tsar Alexander II and the persons empowered by him. So you can hear in his writings the difficulty that he had. Now, he was given an appointment and he was given a place to work and treat solely using homeopathic remedies and homeopathic, the method of Similimum, because we want to be sure and clear that people do not think that just because there's a named remedy, that that is going to lead to some alleviation of symptoms and cure. But it has to be done through treatment and using the specific principles of homeopathy in order to see results. Then the other problem that he had was the cases that he were given were the ones that were incurable. And yet, he shows that through 81 patients were treated, 52 recovered, even though he was given incurable cases. Now, that's quite amazing, is it not? And he found that this was poor treatment on their part. He was not given an acute case, meaning that someone must have come in with a wound or a bruise or some other thing that could be treated simply with traditional, most commonplace remedies like arnica or hypericum or symphytum or things like that. But he probably had very severe cases to deal with. I'm going to quote again. Gavolg also complained on the enmity of the doctors subordinated to him. In his opinion, they deliberately misdiagnosed their patients in order to represent their diseases for future statistics as much milder than they were in reality. Other complaints of Dr. Gavolg were the following. All the soldiers treated were suffering from chronic mercurialism, widely spread in the Russian army. Soon after I started treating, he said, severe hospital infections developed in my rooms, whilst the doctors attached to my unit were looking at these in cold blood as common phenomena. And the third, in the periodicals of Helsingfors homeopathy, the audience of the lectures and myself became a subject of crude attacks, mockeries, and curses. All my undertakings met with obstacles and resistance. The patronage of Count Nikolai Vladimirovich Aldeburgh that I had so much expected was powerless against attacks and intrigues from all directions. So you see, he was under severe conditions, being given the worst of the worst type of patient to try to cure and help them with their sufferings. They had already been treated with mercury, which we know is very detrimental and toxic to an organism, to a living organism in humans. And He also had a problem with severe infection. So I don't know the sanitary conditions in the hospital or in the rooms that he had. I'm sure that he was very aware of that. He has, Gravaug, had written the textbook of homeopathy. And I'm bringing his name into the conversation today specifically because we're talking about arnica. Today's topic is arnica, and that it is a great vulnerary. It is well established in homeopathy. It is wonderful for injury to soft tissue, for fractures, dislocations, bruises, ecchymosis, bleeding. It is wonderful for before and after operations, for surgery, ophthalmia, or obstetrics. Keep arnica is probably our number one remedy in our toolkit. And it was Dr. Gravaug who told us the use of homeopathy, to take it a few doses before and after each operation, whether in the domain of surgery, ophthalmia, or obstetrics. So because of that, I wanted to bring his name into the radio show today and also to show you, historically, we have always had this difficulty in getting acceptance of homeopathy in the mainstream medicine. However, I believe that arnica is going to be the remedy that does that in contemporary medical life. I believe that arnica is being used daily by the general public. The word and name of arnica has become very familiar. And we also have a conversation going on with Homeopathy World Community that I posted recently, because it is used specifically for head injury, for whether it has the head injury concussion has happened in the recent, in an acute situation, or even in long-term past. And I'm going to read you a little bit from that article on concussion. There's also a poll to tell, for those who have been using homeopathy in their medical practice, whether it has come into help with long-term concussion. The reason I bring it up also is because there is severe concussions going on today in the sports arena, in athletics, especially in games of football, and students go ahead and continue to play their sports without telling their parents or their coach or those who are their guardians that they are suffering from severe head injury, because they want to be out there on the football field. They want to be with their friends. They want to be playing their sports, and they don't want to be looked down upon. There's many reasons for them not to indicate and get help. But if they knew about arnica and natrum sulf and some other head injury remedies that are extremely helpful, then they would probably have less difficulty returning back to their normal state. I'm going to check on, there are comments here in the live chat. Marilyn has mentioned that the plastic surgeons and the sports medical doctors are using homeopathic remedies and specifically arnica, very specifically arnica today. We're going to talk more about that. So on the blog that I have here, the story about concussion being an epidemic disease, and I think it is, I wouldn't call it a disease, but it is in epidemic proportions today, that the New York Times has written quite considerably about this problem, and also it is used for major surgery. So what happens, what typically can the traditional medical field do for concussion? If anybody has a response to that, I would like to see some comments. And there are many, many blogs, what I will call vlogs with a V, on YouTube from children, from teenagers, from parents, from doctors who have incurred these concussions during their sports life, when they're playing in the national, even the National Football League has produced a poster that alerts its players to the long-term effects of concussion, where a person will become depressed and early onset dementia will be a result of having a head injury. Also, I did visit California in 2010 to the International Homeopathic Congress of Medical Physicians. Those were homeopaths from around the world, the international community congregated and gave many presentations. Dr. Srinivasulu Gadugu gave a case presentation about concussions, and it was quite amazing to see in the live video, which he recorded, of traumatic brain injury, severe traumatic brain injury. So it is not only sports injury, but you can consider all of the traffic accidents, the road accidents and conditions, and most especially this happens when there are motorcycle vehicle accidents. 25% of all trauma deaths result from these motor vehicle accidents, and 1.4 million sustain traumatic brain injury, TBI, each year. And TBI in India affects 35,000 persons who die and 125,000 persons who are disabled each year. TBI, there is 700,000 Indians who are living with disabilities related to this traumatic brain injury. And this is only in India, so you can imagine in all the other countries around the world, most young adults are affected that are aged between 15 and 25. So you're talking about a traumatic change in a young person's life that could be alleviated, and hopefully they would learn better care. They are working on protecting people in the sports industry with helmets. I don't know how much that really helps. He says it accounts for $70 million per year in financial loss, and that is in India alone. So the doctor presented a case of a 21-year-old male who was in a motorcycle accident. Unfortunately, that person was not wearing a helmet. And I know in many countries it is by law that you need to wear a helmet. It also records that he was not drinking alcohol, so that would be something where accidents typically occur. All of his senses were altered. He had vomiting and concussion. The entire progression of this young man's healing through the video presentation inspires us to learn more about homeopathy. Truly, that young man could have remained a vegetable for the rest of his years, but instead, after a number of months, so we have to be patient with homeopathy. It may be quick-acting or it may take some time, depending on the severity of the injury. So over the course of some months, he was able to, I saw him get up and walk out of the hospital on his own, and he even went back to attending school at the university. And so we know that arnica is important for athletes and sports managers to learn about homeopathy and emergency care. It is for bruising and for shock, not just physical shock, but also emotional shock to the system, as well as hypericum is good for the injury to nerves and concussions and contusions. And also, when there is chronic injury for the brain, natrum sulf is good for head injury and also the resulting depression. Hyoscyamus comes into play when there is great restlessness and violence with the desire to be uncovered. And I remember in this particular video, this young man was given hyoscyamus for the way that he was speaking and the sexual innuendos. The fifth remedy that is recommended for concussion is veratrum album, when there is head sweating with a dictatorial behavior of screaming. There are many more homeopathic remedies that are in our toolkit, and it is always recommended that we see a professional for care. Regarding the basketball-related injuries in children, the United States emergency rooms reported more than 4 million basketball-related pediatric injuries between 1997 and 2007. That is 375,350 injuries in children annually. In basketball-related injuries in school-age children, in 1997 to 2007, this was published in the October 2010 print issue of Pediatrics that was published online. And researchers reviewed the National Electronic Injury Surveillance System, NEISS, data at more than 100 hospital emergency rooms. So we're not only talking about football, we're talking about basketball. I could imagine it could be with volleyball or any other kind of soccer, any other kind of ball game where there could be contact sports and a possibility of falling. The most common reported injuries were a strain or sprain to the lower extremities, particularly to the ankles, and that comes from that report of the pediatric injuries on the annual basis. Of course, boys were more likely to sustain lacerations, fractures, or dislocations. Girls were more likely to sustain traumatic brain injuries and injuries to the knee. Older children, ages 15 to 19, were more likely to sustain injuries to the lower extremities, like I just told you. According to the study authors, the continued high number of basketball-related injuries and the rise in traumatic brain injuries, TBI, remain a cause for concern. And there is a lot to be written about that. I'm going to continue on with more information regarding Arnica today, as I will check that we have plenty of time for this. Edward von Gowalk said, indeed, its value in obstetrical practice is hardly to be estimated. If given before and after delivery, it will almost infallibly prevent puerperal fever. It has a great power of delaying and preventing suppuration, and it is of special use after operations about the eyes, more particularly after cataract operation. It prevents extensions and mortifications of carbuncle, and it is of use in injuries of long standing. So here again, he's saying even if you sustained an injury many, many years ago, it is potentially possible that Arnica will be helpful again. It prevents pyemia in concussion of the brain or spinal cord, in wrenches and hemorrhages from injuries. It is our most useful remedy. It should also be given after fractures where the limbs start continually as it corresponds to the sensitiveness. Its use in crushed finger applied according to the method of Bowl, which consists of wrapping up the finger in the pure tincture and practically sealing it, has been of great use. And I want to make sure that people know that if there is any laceration or open wound to the skin, we never apply Arnica to an open wound. That's the case. We only take a homeopathic energetic remedy internally. But I imagine when there is a contusion, a bruise of the soft tissue, this is a technique that Gravol used with success, and he learned it from Bowl, to soak the gauze in the tincture and use it that way. Von Gravol considered Arnica a pyemic prophylactic, and R.T. Cooper says that it exerts a specific effect upon septic poisoning. We know also that aconite is excellent for shock and for postoperative chills, surgical fever, chill after catheterization. Is also an important use after eyes operation of the eyes, as is Veles Paretus for strains, and contusions. So those are two of the similar remedies that are used in companionship with arnica, would be the Veles Paretus and aconite, as well as, he says, echinacea for its excellent remedy in boils and acne. The prevention and complications after plastic surgery, such as bleeding and slow wound healing, can be aided by the proper management of a variety of common medications. And this is becoming quite popular for those physicians who are doing plastic surgery today. They are specifically utilizing arnica and giving specific instructions to their patients. Not only do they tell their patients to avoid certain medications, such as nicotine, cigarettes, cigars, nicotine gum and patches, because nicotine reduces the blood flow to the skin and may impair healing, so they ask their patients to quit smoking as drastically as they can to improve the response to surgery. They also tell their patients to stop using medications containing aspirin, the NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications such as ibuprofen, Aleve, and Advil prior to and following surgery. Why? Because aspirin and NSAIDs thins the blood and can produce excess bleeding and bruising. So you're supposed to read the labels of any over-the-counter remedies that you regularly take, such as a lot of people take a daily aspirin or Alka-Seltzer. For some reason, also avoid vitamin E supplements and red wine prior to surgery. Stop the use of herbal medications before surgery, such as echinacea, ephedra, garlic, ginseng, ginkgo, kava, St. John's wort, and valerian. They may adversely affect anesthetic drugs. They may prolong bleeding, and they may impair healing after surgery. But the medications that you would want to start taking 2 weeks prior to surgery, as written in many of the websites coming from plastic surgeons. Of course, you're only doing this under a doctor's care. You begin taking the arnica supplement 7 days prior to surgery and continue for 2 weeks following surgery. Arnica is a homeopathic remedy. Unfortunately, they call it a naturopathic remedy on some websites that helps prevent bruising. It also aids in clearing bruising that has occurred and for helping heal the surgery much quicker. So there are arnica patches and arnica gels in tubes and other, as Gravolg explained, both topical and internal. The surgeons also recommend taking a vitamin and vitamin C in particular before and after surgery. So there's a combination of different methods of supporting the, I answered the question to Marilyn, is it to support the body to heal through diet. It says to take foods that are high in vitamin K, that are fat-soluble vitamins that play an important role in blood clotting, such as eating spinach, broccoli, and kiwi. So you can research and find out many of the surgeons are using arnica as a homeopathic remedy today. Marilyn has mentioned that if someone is taking a daily aspirin prescribed by their medical physician, they are under the risk of a heart attack. Does this mean that arnica should not be given because of blood thinning? I would say that you need to check with your physician to answer that question. I think arnica is good for blood thinning, and that's how it moves, cleans the tissue rapidly. But it does not, I do not think it will stop clotting. It will help the body to and the wound to heal. In terms of the heart, I think you do need to speak to your physician to see what medications you are given and what kind of care. It's probably on a most individual basis to take care of that. So as I was saying, many of the surgeons are using homeopathy in the form of arnica, which the reason I'm talking about arnica today most especially is because if a homeopathic remedy can be provide such dramatic results and it's used to heal in these kinds of wounds, this kind of surgery, and we can see dramatic results, then this is just an indication of the kind of results we can find in all homeopathic remedies when they are given based on the similimum, based on homeopathic principles, and targeting the correct issue that the individual is suffering from. And I just wanted to make that clear that homeopathy is being used in the traditional, by traditional physicians, by allopathic physicians, because they are recognizing its positive healing in patients who are undergoing this kind of damage to their organ, to their tissue. And there are many other uses of arnica, which I wanted to speak about today. Also, I wanted to tell you that the FDA does regulate, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration classifies homeopathic remedies as drugs, and they do regulate them as pharmaceutical drugs. A little bit more about arnica. What is bruising or ecchymosis? It occurs when the blood vessels, such as the small capillaries, are injured. Perhaps we know, as we were just speaking, about a fall or an injury that is specifically an injury that does not break the skin, and it is a trauma to the soft tissue. It allows, arnica allows the blood to seep around the surrounding tissue. This trauma allows blood to seep into the surrounding tissue, resulting in that black and blue discoloration, which everyone is familiar with. And I myself have had a great injury where I used arnica in a high potency. I fell down an entire flight of stairs that was wooden and injured my hip. It was definitely, I got up and took an arnica immediately and even drove myself to the hospital to have x-rays to see if there were any broken bones. And I watched over the course of weeks how that ecchymosis, that black and blue, turned colors very, very rapidly from the inside of that circle to the outside. And nearly all surgeries result in internal bleeding due to the small vessels that are cut open during surgery. So this is something that is to be expected. In addition, what about swelling and edema? That also is incurred whenever there is a mechanical injury or bruise to the tissue. It is an accumulation of too much fluid in the intracellular spaces of the body tissues. The trauma is also a result of surgery, and there is definitely a degree of swelling. Arnica also assists with the healing of this swelling. So we see how arnica is so important for the homeopathic care. It is arnica montana, also called mountain tobacco, leopard's bane, wolf's bane, and mountain arnica. It is derived from flowers and the rhizome. You know, a lot of people confuse it with herbs, and there are so many warnings on medical sites that say, do not use Arnica Montana. Even though it does have antimicrobial activities, when they confuse using the raw herb with using homeopathically prepared Arnica, they are giving misinformation to individuals and doctors. So we want to be sure that we separate out what is an herbal, what is a infusion, what is a tincture, and what is a homeopathic remedy. And so we will talk about those differences at another time. But there are so many clinical trials and studies using Arnica that show that it does work. You will read often on websites that the conclusions are insufficient to support the use of Arnica. I personally question why they say this. Clinical trials are conducted for the benefits of Arnica for osteoporosis and the reduction of postoperative swelling and for pain. Lest not us forget how it helps when you have an injury, the type of and quality and intensity of pain that is incurred, and how Arnica can really alleviate that type of suffering. So they also say that there is an oral administration of the herb, but not the homeopathic preparation, that includes gastrointestinal distress, hypotension, tachycardia, shortness of breath, coma, and death. Well, we have to remember, if a substance can cause certain symptoms in a well person, then those same symptoms can be cured and alleviated using the homeopathic preparation when it is used in the similimum. Remember that you're not going to use Arnica topically for dermatitis, irritation, and burning on the skin. Only unbroken skin. Scientifically, the experimental studies on the effects of Arnica preparations have demonstrated antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory, respiratory stimulant, positive, inotropic, and tonus increasing actions. The anti-inflammatory effects are attributed to Henalyn, whose actions include a marked anti-edemic effect that has been confirmed in experimental models. The external use of Arnica preparations can cause dermatitis in individuals sensitized by these Henalyn type. So we want to note that all of these websites that have medical sites that break down Arnica into its supposedly active ingredients are separating out. They're not really homeopathic in their mode of thinking and mode of action. We look homeopathically at substances in their totality, and we don't break out the types of ingredients that are in there. It's good to learn and study about them, because we do have on the website a discussion about strychnine and ignatia and nux vomica, strychnine being an active ingredient in those two other plant substances. So it can be used in a specific way once the proving is done, as in a clinical trial, to understand the action of the substance or of the ingredient on the living organism. And that's how we know how to use it. I want to bring up a couple more. We only have 10 minutes left to the show. I want to bring a couple more instances of Arnica being used in clinical trials. This is from PubMed on complementary therapy medicine. Homeopathic Arnica therapy in patients who receive knee surgery. and the results in three randomized double-blind trials. In that article, we learn that the effectiveness of homeopathic Arnica Montana on post-operative swelling and pain after arthroscopy and artificial knee joint implantation and cruciate ligament reconstruction. So there were three types of surgeries that were done double-blind sequential clinical trials using the use of Arnica and placebo. And they were using only a 30X, a very, very low potency, to find out what would happen and receive some conclusions on this study. In all of the three trials, the patients receiving the homeopathic Arnica showed a trend towards less post-operative swelling compared to patients receiving the placebo. It also states in this article, however, a significant difference in favor of homeopathic Arnica was only found in the CLR trial, which means that Arnica was used for all three trials. There was a trend toward less swelling than even the placebo group. And it says that in the CLR group, the one group where they had the ligament reconstruction, there was a significant improvement. Now, what would happen if they did repeated these trials over and over again with different potencies of Arnica? What might the results be then? That has not been done. Another PubMed article, Homeopathic Arnica Montana for Post-Tonsillectomy Analgesia. This was a randomized placebo-controlled trial in the UK to evaluate the use of Arnica in reducing the morbidity following tonsillectomy. Again, it was a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial, and 190 patients over the age of 18 who were undergoing tonsillectomy were randomized. The results of this trial suggest that Arnica Montana given after tonsillectomy provides a small but statistically significant decrease in pain scores compared to placebo. Again, improvement compared to placebo. And this was a trial using Arnica 30C, or a placebo, and it was two tablets six times in the first postoperative day, and then two tablets twice a day for the next 7 days. Again, we know as homeopaths that we might use 30C or even a higher potency, or we may have to select a more specific homeopathic remedy depending on individualized treatment. Another PubMed article written from the Rheumatology magazine journal was choosing between NSAID and Arnica for topical treatment of hand osteoarthritis in a randomized double-blind trial. Again, this was topical preparation for symptoms of osteoarthritis compared to the effects of ibuprofen 5% and Arnica 50g tincture as gel preparations in patients with radiologically confirmed and symptomatologically active osteoarthritis in interphalangeal joints of the hands were evaluated in a randomized double-blind study in 204 patients. The results confirmed that this preparation of Arnica, and I want you to listen to the words, how they say, is not inferior to ibuprofen when treating osteoarthritis of hands. I find it quite unusual that they use the negative to say it is not inferior. Does that mean that it is superior? You will have to read that for yourself. And since we only have a few minutes left, I'm going to close today's show with the reading of Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. We have been reading all the way up to aphorism number 154, which states, if the antitype constructed from the list of symptoms of the most suitable medicine contain those peculiar, uncommon, singular, and distinguishing characteristic symptoms which are to be met with in the disease to be cured in the greatest number and in the greatest similarity, this medicine is the most appropriate homeopathic specific remedy for this morbid state. The disease, if it be not one of very long standing, will generally be removed and extinguished by the first dose of it without any considerable disturbance. So what we see here is we must understand that these clinical trials being done allopathically are not exactly homeopathic thinking. We select remedies based on the peculiar, uncommon, singular, and distinguishing characteristic symptoms, which means each person must be individually observed and understand what the change is from their normal state of health to their disorder, to the way they are not able to function, to the diseased state of health. And that is why Arnica is a polycrest. It covers so many types of symptoms for injury, but there are many, many other homeopathic remedies usually quite often in a plant family, in the similar family, that also cover injury, as in the homeopathic remedy Bellus perennis. And so what a homeopath is truly looking for is what has changed from the way the person normally is to the way they are in their state of ill health. And this is very, very important because these are sometimes we call keynotes or something that distinguishes that remedy or that person from any other person. There are many common symptoms to bruising, contusions, bleeding. I mean, we could think of phosphorus for bleeding. There are many things that are similar to Arnica. How do we know to choose Arnica? This might be a question that we have on the network. There is just a minute left. I want to thank everyone so much for listening to the show today. And if you would like to get onto the network, we've got some wonderful discussions going on about keynote prescribing, about that one is by Dr. Basu. And we have another one by Dr. Amir Salim called Top Indications of Homeopathic Remedies. And don't forget to look on My Conversion to Homeopathy as another one. There's the group Surgery and Homeopathy and the discussion about concussions as an epidemic in American high schools. I thank you so very much for everyone who has been listening. I did not get to look on to the chat very much, but we can continue this discussion next week. There's only a minute left, and I want to thank everyone again. Have a beautiful week, and think of homeopathy when you need some help in your solving your problems.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with host Debbie Brock on Homeopathy World Community Radio. Remember to take your Organon off the shelf and read it.